listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m. you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And this week we've had David Leo talking to us about Jesus in the courtyard, but I've asked Stuart Barons to come in and share his experiences or thoughts and understandings of the sanctuary. So thank you, Stuart, for joining us today.
No worries at all.
Great to have you here. Stuart, I really enjoy this topic of the sanctuary. There's so much meaning and symbolism behind it. So I'm keen to understand what you can share with your thoughts regarding the sanctuary. Just want to remind our listeners, we still have our show number 0488 880 891. You can text in, you can ask questions if you want to that we can address on later programs. You can also listen on the Faith FM app and the Faith FM website. So do remember all of that. We do have a book offer coming up, and this will be the last day of this week where you can claim our book offer for this week. It's called It's All About Him. So do keep that in mind. Keep listening. We'll give you the code a little bit later in the program. So we've been working through the sanctuary this week, Jesus in the courtyard, and we're going to go further. But I don't want you to limit your discussion today, Stuart, of just the courtyard. I just want you to give us some thoughts on how you have experienced the concept of the sanctuary and what it means to you.
Well, to me, the sanctuary is a type. It's pointing forward to Jesus Christ, and so we have a meeting of type and anti-type. The type was the sanctuary service, and the anti-type was when Jesus Christ fulfilled what the sanctuary was pointing to.
I've heard that concept before, this type and anti-type, and I just did a little bit of Googling here, and somebody here says that there are two elements of the Bible called type and anti-type, and types are shadows of spiritual pictures or concepts. And we know that the earthly sanctuary is a shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. It says that in Hebrews, I think, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Mm. And so the dimensions of everything that was in the earthly sanctuary was a copy of what is in the heavenly sanctuary, so type and anti-type.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and the other aspect that I find fascinating is that in the earthly sanctuary, that we have the sacrificial system, which actually started off in Genesis 3,
right at the beginning.
When Adam and Eve sinned, they suddenly realized they were naked.
Mm.
The Shekinah glory is gone. Oh, we've got to cover up. So they made themselves garments of fig leaves.
Which I don't think would have lasted very long. we talked about this with David a bit earlier in our series. So.
Yeah, no, certainly that was an issue. And so then we have the first sacrifice that occurred when God made them animal skins, clothes of animal skins, which resulted in the death of an animal. So the shedding of the blood of that animal was necessary to cover the imperfections and the sinful nature of Adam and Eve.
Absolutely.
It was a fascinating thing that, you know, right back at the beginning in creation, just after creation, that the sacrificial system was started, and it was a reminder that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin.
And even though they didn't have the sanctuary way back then, that came a bit later, the system of the sacrificial system began right at the beginning. And, of course, we know that Cain and Abel, there's a story there where Cain was offering a sacrifice, but it wasn't the way God had instructed it. So obviously the specific components and the way the sanctuary service was instructed in detail to Moses, there's obviously some significance in that, because we know that from Cain and Abel's experience that when Cain didn't follow the instructions, that wasn't accepted by God.
That's it. And it was also fascinating from that experience where Cain lost his cool. He realized that, hey, he obviously felt guilt, and he took it out on his brother.
Yeah. Because his brother's sacrifice was accepted.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it's a bit like, in the way I look at it, it's when we try to do things our own way.
You come unstuck.
We come unstuck, and this is how it is with our eternal salvation as well. We try to earn that our own way, we come unstuck. But we've got to actually trust in the way God's given us.
Yeah, and so the sacrificial system, the temple, et cetera, was a demonstration that this is how sin is dealt with, and that, you know, there was in that program, there was a couple of times where it was so very much highlighted to the people. One was the Passover, you know, and the Passover in Deuteronomy 16, it was inaugurated because if you didn't have the blood
on the doorpost,
then when the avenging angel came over, the firstborn would be killed. You know, so what a blessed peace it was to know that you're covered by the blood.
You're saved by the blood.
You are saved by the blood. You can go and to sleep.
I know this
night.
Is a very Christian term. You know, saved by the blood is a line in songs that we sing, isn't it? But it's representative right back at that time where the Egyptians had enslaved the Israelites, and God instructed them to sacrifice a lamb, paint the blood on the doorpost, and that would signify that they're going to be saved.
Yeah, that would give you peace. Go to bed that night, I'm covered by the blood of the lamb. And the morning you wake. And unfortunately, there was some terrible death right through Egypt because of their problems. Yes, so the lamb was killed, the blood was used, the other part of that was the sin represented by yeast in the bread.
The bread, yeah.
Yep, so they were...
That's part of the Passover.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all symbolic of that. And the other one is the Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. That was another big part of the sanctuary service. One day a year, the high priest would go into the most holy place and basically at the Day of Atonement... Atonement. It is reconciling the people to God because sin had caused this division. And when we looked through scripture, when we come down to John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he was announcing, hey, here is the fulfillment, the whole sacrificial system. And what is going to occur is that his blood will take away the sin of the world. And so this is the man, Christ Jesus, who is the solution to our sin problem.
And the way it worked in the sacrificial system was that you had the lamb that you conceptually placed your sin upon the lamb, and then the lamb was killed and died, and that symbolically took away your sin that was placed on the lamb. And that's how it is with Jesus. Jesus was perfect, as the lamb had to be a spotless lamb as well.
Yes.
Our sin was placed on him. He bore that, and he bore the consequence of that, which was death. And so by doing that, he's taken away our sin and borne the consequence, and ultimately that provides us a way.
Well, in Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sin. Yeah, so the Lamb of God who died on our behalf, that was the solution for our sin problem as humans. And without his blood, there was no forgiveness, you know. And so because of what he has done, I can go boldly to the throne of God and say, hey, I accept your sacrifice. Thank you for what you've done for me.
Because Jesus has, as our high priest, and as our sacrifice, you know, as the sacrifice for us, he presents us to God.
That's it. You know, and that's the other aspect of the sanctuary, that there's a twofold part. One is that Jesus is our sacrifice. And then you've already mentioned that, you know, he's perfect. The lamb had to be perfect for the sacrifice. The other aspect, that Jesus is our high priest, and he represents us to the Father. And that is a picture of eternity that is greater because of what Jesus has done for us, and done for me personally. He is my advocate. He's my lawyer. He represents me. And I could not have a better representative who says, okay, I've died for you personally. You've accepted me personally. And yes, the law says that if you're a sinner, then there
you must die.
But the aspect of the sanctuary, you know, when the high priest went into the most holy place, there was the law that says, yes, the wages of sin is death.
But there was something else above that.
And that was the mercy seat. You know, so this is a wonderful picture. As a Christian, I rejoice in the picture that the sanctuary paints of God, who set up the system so that I could understand the consequences of doing the wrong thing. My sin actually resulted in my Savior dying for me. You know, he suffered for what I should experience because I'm a sinner, so that I can enjoy what he deserves. You know, and heaven is, yes, we look at the future and heaven, but the peace that passes understanding is mine to enjoy today. So
because we can have that assurance, we can have that hope of the future that we and you know, people that live without hope, it's not a nice life.
No.
But we can live with hope.
Yes.
And we can live with assurance that that Jesus has provided that way.
So praise the Lord for this picture of love combined with mercy that I see in the sanctuary service.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. Our book offer today is coming up.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
So this will be the last time this week that you can claim the book offer. It's called It's All About Him by Lee Vendon. After Jesus, everything else is hardly worth talking about. This book will move you beyond religious theory into a deeper walk with God. Lee Vendon explains in simple terms how to make friends with Jesus. Using a blend of stories, parables, and plain teaching, he explains how to surrender your will, how to be converted daily, and how to experience Christ's transforming power. Jesus will meet your every need and fulfill your deepest heart longings. It's not what you do that counts or what you know. It's whom you know. That's our book offer. So text in the code TEM08. That's for Tassie Encounters Moments, TEM08, no spaces. Text it in to 0488 880891 to claim that book today. Well, it's been a great week. Thank you, Stuart, for coming in and sharing your thoughts. It's a beautiful picture that we have in the sanctuary, isn't it?
It is. Praise the Lord.
And as we go out today, we're going to listen to this beautiful song by YJ Jeong, and it's called The Way of Jesus. May you encounter Jesus more today and each day.
Jesus, I see you here in the darkness, where it seems no one else can reach this heart of mine. Your arms embrace me, your presence soothes me. Though I have wandered far away, you're still with me. You call me to know you, invite me to trust you, saying I am the truth, the life, I am the way. So humbly I follow the path you prepared for me. By your grace, Lord, I will never turn away. Oh, Jesus Christ, me on the fix my eyes on you alone. This world and all that it offers me is nothing like the joy I found in you. You call me to trust you, saying I am the truth, the life, I am the way, so humbly I follow the path you prepared for me. By your grace, Lord, I will never turn away. Oh Jesus Christ, you
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.